From the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 4.
My brother, Mr. John Flynn.
The Gospel according to Luke and chapter 4, please. Reading from verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, in Isaiah chapter 61 in our Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Had we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, we would have read about the angel Gabriel going to a virgin in the city of Nazareth. And he brought that tremendous message to her. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will come upon you, and you will conceive and bear a son, whose name shall be called Emmanuel. We think of the words of Isaiah in chapter 7. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. I should have quoted Jesus, of course, in Luke chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, we have the fulfillment of that prophecy, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in the manger. And again, we could think of Isaiah chapter 9. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We could think of those prophetic words in Isaiah in chapter 53 concerning the Lord Jesus as a root out of a dry ground, the dry ground of Israel, and yet that fresh shoot came forth in the fullness of time. And I wonder why the Lord Jesus did not read from Isaiah chapter 7 or chapter 9 or chapter 53. But it was according to his choice, no doubt, and in the order of the synagogue reading, perhaps, there was handed to him the scroll, that part, which was Isaiah chapter 61. And I want to leave with you a suggested outline in the exposition of this portion of God's Word. And as we look upon this portion, it divides itself very naturally into three parts. We might think of it prophetically, no doubt related to Israel, linked perhaps to the looking forward to the year of Jubilee, to the liberation of the captives, to the returning from the Babylonian exile, and to the hope of the coming Messiah. And it's lovely to see that in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that he applies these messianic words to himself and to his own ministry. Secondly, we can see how this portion of Scripture is applied to the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus. And I will quote to you the verses in Luke's Gospel, which will show us the perfect fulfillment of these words read by the Lord Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth, where he was brought up as a boy, that synagogue to which he went, which he attended, where he learned the Old Testament scriptures, and where he himself, of course, was the perfect fulfillment of all the scriptures the people were learning in that synagogue. It was his custom to go there. We might think of him as a babe in chapter 2 of Luke. We might think of him as a boy of 12 in Jerusalem, in the temple to which he went each year. But then we have that period of 18 years which are missing. I know the Coptic Church in Ethiopia and in Egypt, they have their books, of course, and from these they expound the happenings of the Lord Jesus during those 18 silent years. I wouldn't say they're authentic in any way. But here we have, after 18 years, the Lord Jesus going into the synagogue at Nazareth, where he was brought up, lovely words. And his custom, a lovely word, or lovely words to study. But he brings to us a sevenfold ministry, which he himself completed during his lifetime. And the third division, of course, of this portion, in case I forget, is the practical application to you and to me. That is why we are here this evening. Oh yes, the scriptures do refer to Israel. They do historically teach us about the ministry of the Lord Jesus. But they bring to you and to me in our day a challenge that we might fulfill the divine commission which is placed in our hands. And as the Lord Jesus read these words from Isaiah 61, how full of meaning they are. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Here we think of his appointment by divine commission. Commissioned by Jehovah. And he, the perfect servant, we can see that he was appointed divinely. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. You will have noticed that we read verse 1 of chapter 4. And we also read verse 14. Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. But now as he comes into the synagogue at Nazareth in Galilee, the Holy Spirit is upon him.
And he goes forth into his ministry, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. In chapter 1, as I quoted, there are the words of Gabriel to Mary, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee." In chapter 3, verse 16, John the Baptist, he gives forth those lovely words, "The one coming after me, he will baptize you in the element of the Holy Spirit. I am baptizing you in the element of water unto repentance, but the one following me, he in the element of the Holy Spirit will baptize you." How wonderful. And then in chapter 3, verse 22, coming up from his baptism in the river Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form similar to that of a dove. And then there was the voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so as he sets out on his ministry, it is a ministry in which he was divinely appointed in his commission by the Holy Spirit of God. How does it apply to us today? I do not want to criticize myself or you, but very, very often in our prayer meetings, before the gospel meeting, is there reference made to the Holy Spirit of God? Oh, dear brethren and sisters, I believe this is the challenge of the age. We are divinely commissioned today because the Holy Spirit has commissioned us. He has not come upon us. I love the words used by the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14. Those prepositions, "He shall be in you, and he shall be with you." O God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is in you, and he's with you. Where then is the power of the church today? Is it in the buildings which we erect? Is it in the program we provide? Oh no, the power of the church is within you and within me. And that power is the Holy Spirit of God. And oh, that we might in these days amongst us in Northern Ireland see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst us. And as we think of the Lord Jesus going forth, he was full of the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. But in our going out, practically in the commission committed to us, it can only be done in the energy of the Holy Spirit. As we were thinking that it has pleased God to put the treasure in the earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be from him and not from us. Those are the prepositions in that portion which we were considering. So his appointment was by divine commission. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Very quickly, "because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." I would say here his anointing was divinely bestowed. In chapter 5, there we see him coming to the leper, that poor man. And there his ministry and commission is seen as he heals the leper, as he heals the palsied man. anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. And oh, the poor to whom he preached the gospel of the kingdom, of the grace of God, the love of God. And oh, the poor that are in this world, to whom God has called you and me to preach. I can think of the poor people in Africa, those in Ethiopia, which I've seen this year, and those in East Africa, and those I've seen in the continent, in Hungary and Romania. The poor. But oh, in Northern Ireland, there are still the poor ones. Poor because they do not have the riches which we have in Christ Jesus. And oh, we have a message to give to the nations and to give to our own nation. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Luke 6 and 20. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And in chapter 9, there were the hungry ones, without food, without sustenance. And I have seen them in Ethiopia and Africa. And God has given us a message for those who are dying. Oh, I know we do not preach a social gospel to them. But I am challenged by the words of Acts chapter 1. Those things which Jesus both began to do and to teach. And the life-giving message which we have is a balanced one. Not just a message and a dogma, dry in itself, but a message which is full of life and full of blessing, to give to the hungry ones, to the poor ones of Ulster and of the world. Thirdly, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And as we read those words in the hymn, or sang them in the hymn, I was challenged about speaking this little word to you. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. His apostolic ministry was divinely directed. He, the sent one, was directed to the brokenhearted. The widow, chapter 7, verse 11, the widow at Nain, whose son had died. There he came, sent to heal the brokenhearted. Chapter 8. There he was sent to Jairus because of his daughter's death. Sent to heal the brokenhearted. To us, practically, oh, the message we have is that message of salvation, of comfort and blessing to the world at large that is brokenhearted. Listen to the news. Oh, the broken hearts that are in the world today. And as the message of Christ was to the brokenhearted ones, so likewise our message today is to go right to those who are bowed and broken in heart. Fourthly, he has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. And here we have the announcement of liberation to those who were captives. And his sending was indeed divinely executed. In chapter 4 of Luke, we can see one who was captured by fever. Chapter 4 again, those who were, and the one who was captivated by a demon. Chapter 4 again, someone by disease, controlled, captivated. Oh, the ministry of the Lord Jesus was to bring deliverance to the captives. I like preaching from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, where we have that fourfold picture of salvation. Those four different stories of conversion. And there is that girl, that slave girl, there in Philippi. And there were her masters. Their livelihood was from her. She was a slave girl under the power of demons. And oh, today, abroad, there are many captives. But in our homeland, there are many slaves and captives of Satan and sin. And oh, they need the delivering power of the gospel. And the Lord Jesus, He brought this ministry of deliverance to the captives. We read about Satanism and demonism these days. And when you go to Africa, it's a real thing. We do not touch it. But we have seen the power in the name of the Lord Jesus bringing deliverance. And oh, that same power we want to see brought to Ulster in these days. The power of the Holy Spirit of God, the power of the gospel, bringing deliverance to men and to women. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captives. Chapter 8 of Luke, there was Mary Magdalene, and she came under that ministry of deliverance. Number 5, and the recovering of sight to the blind. The administration of sight was divinely blessed. Chapter 18 of Luke. There we have outside of Jericho that one. And he cried, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. You've seen blind people in this our land. And I've seen hundreds and hundreds of them abroad. Thank God for the medical skill that brings sight to many blind people today. But here the ministry, the commission of the Lord Jesus, was to bring sight to the blind. We might think of the nation of Israel, of course. They're still blinded. But oh, the Lord Jesus dispensed the blessing of sight to those who were blind. Number 6, to set at liberty them that were bruised. And oh, we can think of his ministry to those who were bruised. In chapter 6, the man with the withered hand. In chapter 8, the woman with the issue of blood, bent over, burdened. And oh, the lovely illustration in chapter 10 of Luke of the Good Samaritan, where he went to minister to the wounded, to the dying man. And so we can see the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ's commission. To us has been given the message of the gospel, to bring healing and liberty and soothing to those who are bruised and wounded by sin and Satan. And then he wound up his reading from Isaiah 61. Number 7, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we think of the acceptable year was divinely revealed. And as he brought a revelation of his mission and his commission to the people, to the nation, we can see the results as foretold in Isaiah chapter 53. He was despised and rejected. But we can think of Luke chapter 4 and verse 21, which records for us the words of the Lord Jesus. This day Is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? To us today, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And God has given to you and to me the message for today. We might think of this passage prophetically in relation to Israel. We might think of it personally related to the Lord Jesus and his ministry. But what about myself? Does the Word of God bring a challenge to me and to my life? It first of all brought a challenge to me 53 years ago as a little schoolboy. The power of the message reached my heart. But over 40 years ago, as a teenager, God challenged me about the need of the world. Thank God for that commission to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel. I leave it with you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. His appointment was by divine commission, and likewise, so is ours today. Oh, that we might see amongst us the Holy Spirit of God working in conviction and in conversion, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. His anointing was divinely bestowed, and out he went to the poor, and he brought to them blessing. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. His apostolic ministry was divinely directed to the widows, to those who were bereaved, to many suffering ones. To preach deliverance to the captives, his announcement of liberty was divinely executed to those whom he met. How wonderful it was. Fifthly, and the recovering of sight to the blind, the administration of sight was divinely blessed. And as we go forth to the world, to the blind ones, those about whom we were thinking this afternoon, the God of this world, this age, hath blinded the minds of those that believe not. And God has given to you and to me a ministry to them. Sixthly, to set at liberty those that were bruised. The assistance to the bruised was divinely offered. Oh, what an assistance to those who were bruised. And you and I have this privilege and challenge and opportunity to do so. Seventh, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We know that the acceptable year was divinely revealed by him. Now is this scripture fulfilled in your sight. Beloved in Christ, as we think of this portion of Isaiah 61, read and expounded by the Lord Jesus, it certainly had an application to Israel prophetically. It certainly had an application historically to the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus. But my chief message to you and to me likewise is that it has a personal, practical challenge to you and to me today. We do not know when the Lord will come, but there are those in the world who are poor. There are those in the world who are brokenhearted. There are those in the world who are captives. There are those in the world who are blind. There are those in the world who are bruised. And to them, We have been commissioned and called to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, that in this day of opportunity we might see the Spirit of God work amongst us all that Jesus both began to do and to teach.